Live from the In the Room studios located in the NetCarrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Witching Hour Thursday night right here on the VOC Nation worldwide. That means you're tuned in to Her Dork World, His Dork World. I'm Dean Compton, and the first thing I got to say tonight to everybody is I apologize for my voice. I have been sick for the last week, and even more concerning to me, my beloved Emily Scott is in the other room, 101 degree temperature as we're speaking, but she's the toughest lady you'll ever meet. She said, no, I am not going to allow a virus to impede me, to prevent me from talking with MasterChef's own, Make Your Food Famous's own, Monte Carlo tonight. Emily, I know you're excited despite your malady.
I'm very excited. There was no way I was going to miss out on this. Fever be damned.
Well, I know another thing you're not going to miss out on is tomorrow night, you're going to get to talk to Mary McConnell at Dragon Con.
Mary McDonnell.
I'm sorry. I thought that's what I said. I thought that's what I said, but I may have scratched in the wrong letter.
Yes, Mary McDonnell. You guys probably know her from many different things, including Battlestar Galactica and Independence Day, Donnie Darko, Dances with Wolves, The Closer.
I don't know her from any of those because I've not seen any of that.
You've never seen Independence Day. You've never seen Donnie Darko.
I've never seen it.
We're adding Donnie Darko to a future segment of Dean's Never Seen.
Never seen Battlestar Galactica. Never seen
anything.
Well,
that I'm also going to have you watch at some point. But
well,
but I love her. She's an amazing actress. I will be doing a press conference with her tomorrow night. If anybody has any questions, please feel free that you would like me to ask her. Please feel free to leave them on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/ Her Dork World, His Dork World.
Oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart. That fever's getting in the way. And also, you can email us, hdwradio@gmail.com. You know, normally when we're on the show, we take a break real quick so that we can talk at length with our guests. But tonight, due to our, you know, just these maladies that have overtaken us, we're going to go ahead and go right to the guest immediately. Monte Carlo from season 3 of MasterChef, big time radio host in her own right all across this nation. And also her own show coming up, Make Your Food Famous. Monte Carlo, thanks for making your world a part of Her Dork World, His Dork World right here tonight. How are you?
I'm also sick. So that's like a massive like trilogy of illness on this show tonight.
We are the triumvirate of disease.
I wonder what our collective temperatures are. I'm guessing in the 300s.
My temperature's gone. My temperature's gone, but I still have the scratchy throat, and I don't have any energy, and, you know.
Play along,
Dean.
Play along.
No. I got to be honest. The folks depend on me, Monty, to be honest. And honestly, I'm really excited about your new show, Make Your Food Famous. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and how it came about and where the good folks listening can see it?
Well, Make My Food Famous airs Sunday night on the FYI Network, which is a brand new network. It used to be the Biography Channel, and it flipped formats and was relaunched a couple of months ago. They've got some really cool programs on it, like Epic Meal Time, where they make dinosaurs out of bacon. It's awesome. I'm very excited to share airtime with those amazing, talented cooks. And Make My Food Famous is for home cooks. It's a cooking competition where three home cooks get to battle it out to get their signature dish, their original creation, on an incredible restaurant's menu. The first show was shot at MB Post, which is Chef David Lefebvre's first restaurant. He's, you know, insane. The guy's worked with all the majors, Charlie Trotter, Ferran Adria. He's a Michelin starred, you know, nominated for a James Beard Award. If you don't know what those terms mean, P.S., it's basically the guy, you know, if he was a football player, he'd have like a set of Super Bowl rings. So
we know Michelin stars. We know Michelin stars because of our exposure to various Gordon Ramsay programming. And Emily, of course, is much bigger into food than I am. Like, it's really funny that I love shows like, you know, Make My Food Famous or MasterChef, because all I eat is junk, sweets and meats. That's it, like, for me. I mean, I processed food.
It needs to be a T-shirt.
It really should be. We should make that the Herdork World, Hisdork World T-shirt. Sweets and meats, bro. Sweets and meats.
That's hilarity. It's an awesome show, and I really hope everyone gets a chance to tune in this Sunday at 10. It's not even really – I mean, it's a great show for foodies, but you don't have to be a foodie to enjoy it.
If
you like competition, I mean, it's just amazing to watch people give it their all and just go to town in a professional kitchen, even though they've never cooked in one before, to try to make their dream come true. It's really feel good, and I can't wait for it to air.
Is it like
– We can't wait to see it.
Oh, go on, Emily.
Oh, I just said we can't wait to see it.
Oh,
is it disconcerting to be on the other side of that, from being a contestant to now being kind of the, you know, the host of something? Like, you know, what kind? Well, how's it like to make that switch?
You know, it's awesome, because I feel like everything I've done in my life has led me to this point. Obviously, I've done radio for 15 years, so I have lots of hosting experience. I've done comedy for 10 years. And I was a home cook on one of the biggest competitions in the world for home cooks. So I really know where these people are coming from and how they're feeling walking into a professional kitchen for the first time. You know, what they feel like staring down at someone that they absolutely admire and Facebook stalk. So it's awesome for me to be able to kind of hold their hand and say, you know what, you can do this, stay focused, you know, and help giving, you know, I give them tips and try to help guide them through the process, because it really is a very intense process. It's sort of like someone taking you into a football stadium and during a huge like playoff game and saying, okay, you're the quarterback now. It's, even though you've never played a game in your life. Yeah. So it's really intense. And I mean, people got very emotional. I can't wait for you guys to see the show. I'm really proud of it.
I heard the premise. I was like, oh, that's perfect. She's the perfect person to do this.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It wasn't my concept. I was approached about it almost a year ago by an executive at the company that produces it, the company Super Delicious, or the people behind Cupcake Wars. And I was doing morning radio in Phoenix. One of the people that listened to my show in Phoenix has one of her friends works at Super Delicious, and she was like, hey, you should check this girl out. And next thing you know, I'm auditioning for this show. So I was up against some really big-time chefs who have, you know, huge followings and have names and have done more with their lives and, you know, participate in a reality show. So I really didn't think I stood a chance, but I'm pretty excited that they chose me.
Well, I think it'll be hard for them not to, because you just have such a gregarious nature about you. And when we saw you on MasterChef, I mean, I don't know if you became America's sweetheart, but you certainly became the sweetheart of the MasterChef nation.
Oh, are you serious? That's awesome.
I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. I never showed that to anybody. You know, I've watched MasterChef from day one when it came on in America. And that season is the one where anybody I know who is even peripherally familiar with MasterChef, you're the person they know. Like, to this day, they're like, oh, that's the show, the lady with the glasses and the cool pinup
hair.
The
one that wouldn't stop crying. That one. The one who set the kitchen on fire 3 times. I remember her.
Well, I think they liked your pluckiness. Like, you just, despite setting the kitchen on fire and despite, you know, what appeared to be kind of a cavalcade of folks who just didn't think that you should be there and continue, you just didn't really give a crap.
Right? I was really surprised by that, because everyone was really cool to my face, except for Ryan, who had the grace to be kind of a jerk all the time, which I totally respect, you know. Like, I respect that. If you're going to be a jerk, just be a jerk 100%. You know, don't be fake about it.
Yeah, it's like
it was really surprising to me when I watched. When I watched the show back, you know, we had no idea what was going on behind the scenes when people were getting interviewed and stuff. So I had no idea the things that were being said about me. And I was legitimately hurt and shocked because I felt like the mom of the cast. If you ever hang out with me, you're going to be like, leave one of those bags here. Because I carry like 80 pounds of bags with me wherever I go. I am always ready for the zombie apocalypse. And I have like, you know, 30 candy bars and tea bags and all sorts of good stuff that I would carry with me everywhere on MasterChef. So anytime anybody was hungry or they needed something, I was there for them. So it was really shocking. I was like, oh my God, they hated me.
Bless your heart. That's not fair.
What?
I said, bless your heart. That's not fair. It's not fair for you to find all that out way after the fact.
Oh, I think there's a lot more things in life that are actually unfair than, you know, someone talking trash about you in a reality show. I mean, it's like,
it's true.
I mean, you know, I've been through much worse in my life, so it wasn't that big. It's like if you really wanted to hurt me, you would have gotten to me before the divorce. So, I handled it, you know. I could hang.
Well,
sure.
It was weird to watch as a viewer because, you know, normally when you see that level of vitriol against somebody, it's because they're going out of their way to try and screw people over or, you know, be mean to people. But that just did not seem to be the case at all with you, and people seemed to keep gunning for you. And as a viewer, we're just watching it going, like, why does everyone seem to have it out for her? And the only conclusion I could come to is, like, they're just threatened.
You know, I don't know why they would be threatened at all. I honestly, you know, didn't even think I was going to make it past the top 100. When I got the call that I had made it in the top 100, P.S., I was living in a studio apartment, like 300-square-foot studio apartment. It was me, my kid, my little sister, and my, you know, crazy diabetic blind, like, 15-year-old dog. So we were just one happy family living on a bed. And I'm like, there's no way that I'm going to make it past this top 100. So I was having my little sister watch my son for me. And she's like, how long do you think you'll be gone? I'm like, oh, a day or two. I was gone for almost 3 months. Sequestered.
Wow.
I couldn't call her. She had no idea what was going on. I couldn't talk to my son. That's why I was crying all the time, because the producers just had to say his name. And I would just start bawling because I missed him so much because I'm a psycho, like, helicopter mom. Like, we slept in the same bed together. Like, I call him my best friend. It was crazy not being around him. And I was absolutely not prepared for it. I was shocked that I made it into the top 36 and then the top 18. When the producers first started talking to me, I remember they stood like 9 of us that were auditioning in front of this table of like 6 producers. And everybody that had been in line was all sorts of fancy, you know. They had, like, all this crazy Tupperware and these cool tools and sous vide machines and all this craziness. I came in, when I found out about the audition, I had nothing to make in my house because, and by house, I mean 300-square-foot apartment with a bachelor kitchen, okay? I had nothing to make. So I had, like, a few apples, and I made, like, 3 tiny apple pies because that's like I couldn't even make a big pie. I didn't even have enough for a big pie. And I made 3 little tiny apple pies, and I got hungry and ate 2 of them in line. And I know. And the sick part is everybody had all this fancy equipment with them. My apple pies, I was so broke I didn't have anything to carry them in, so I dumped out one of Danger's diaper boxes and strung a dog leash around the handle so I could use it like a carry-all. And I thought it was so cool because I had MacGyvered this awesome pie carrier out of nothing, you know. And I walk in and everyone's all fancy pants, and I don't understand what anyone is saying. So they lined us up in front of these producers, and I just lost it out because they were like, what are the 5 mother sauces? And I'm like, I'm a mom. I don't know what a mother sauce is. I don't know who sous vide is. And, like, sous vide is, like, a technique, and I thought it was a person. It was awful. And I think that's why everybody was really upset that I had to move on, because they felt like I didn't deserve to be there, because I really, you know, they had spent years studying cuisine, and I just hadn't put in that kind of legwork. I'm, you know, I am a very artistic person, a very creative person, and I love to cook, and I am the definition of a home cook. I mean, I love to cook not to impress people, but to nurture the people in my life. So I do cook incredible, nurturing, awesome, you know, comfort food, but I don't know what to do if you hand me a sous vide machine. I have no idea what to do with that, and I think they were really put off by that. And I was really honest about, you know, a lot of people that were on the show were all about, like, I'm amazing, you know? They took every opportunity to be like, I'm the best. And I, every time somebody talked to me, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. That was my whole, I was like, I'm just going to try to hang on another day so I can get that $50 day rate so I can pay my rent in a week when I should be getting kicked off, like, in a week, I'm guessing, you know? And I was there for almost 3 months. It was insanity.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, you come in and you at least could bake some apple pies. I don't know shit from apple butter about cooking, like nothing. Like, seriously, it's really, I can't do anything. You can ask Emily how little I know.
It's true.
I don't think I need to verify with Emily after that incredible soliloquy about your lack of culinary prowess. But thank you.
What is his favorite expression?
In my defense, but what I do have is I do have a great brother who has been a professional cook for some time, and he called into the show tonight, 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234, and he, since he knows more about cooking, I know he's got a couple questions for you about how MasterChef works. Ray, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey,
how
Ray,
you doing tonight,
it's
man?
Monty.
Hi, Monty. I'm Ray.
Hi, Ray.
Roy.
Oh, sorry.
<That's> okay. It's no worries. It's no worries. So I do have a couple questions. What was it really like being under the watchful eye? You know, I know what it's like being under a guest eye, you know, in an open kitchen under, you know, chefs that I really look up to, and I'm shaking and I'm freaking out. But what was it like under the cameras with those, with the wonderful Joe, and what was it like being, and obviously I'm nervous now, what was it like being under their eyes?
Oh, Ray, I mean, you talk about shaking and being freaked out when your chef is watching you in your open kitchen, you know, just add completely pitted out to that, and that's exactly what it was like, you know, because it was bananas. You know, Gordon Ramsay, obviously, like, one of the culinary masters of our time, Joe Bastianich, Graham Elliott, for crying out loud, the youngest James Beard Award winner. I mean, what the hell was I doing in that kitchen, you know? And I was out of my mind the whole time. I remember when Ryan, who's a kid that really, really disliked me on the show, gave me this can of canned crab to make something with. And, you know, people had gotten these beautiful live crabs, and they had made this incredible, you know, salads. Like, Christine made this beautiful ceviche, and somebody made this beautiful soup, and I'd gotten canned crab. And so I'd read about Scottish eggs. I'd never made a Scottish egg in my life, but I'd read about it, and I decided to do a Scottish egg. P.S. is just a soft-boiled egg that's wrapped in sausage meat, and then it's like cooked and basted off with butter, so it's basically just wrapped in this delicious sausage meat. But I had made like sausage basically out of this crab, canned crab, and basted it in clarified butter and finished it off in the oven. And I looked at these two little lonely eggs while everybody else is incredible creation, and I almost started crying because I was like, what am I doing here with these little eggs? And everybody else has got this incredible stuff. And I'm walking up to Gordon Ramsay with these two little lonely eggs and trying my hardest not to flip out. And Gordon takes a bite of the egg, and he starts laughing. And I remember, like, every muscle in my body just tightening up, just getting ready for him to be like, what the hell are you doing in my kitchen? Get your F out. You're coming up to me with two eggs. You know, he was like, I don't remember what exactly. Oh, he called me an effing freak. So and he was like, this is incredible, and I would put this on my menu tonight. And Joe Bastianich was nice to me for the very first time in like 2 weeks. So I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. So I think the reason that, you know, I got as far as I did is that I knew my place. I wasn't mm-hmm. trying to impress these incredible chefs that have obviously dined in the most amazing restaurants in the whole world. You know what I mean? I wasn't trying to impress them with my sous vide prowess. I was just trying to create something that was going to put a smile on their face, period. So when you put yourself in that headspace and you take, you really relax because it's kind of like cooking for your friends and family. So for me, it was all about the Jedi mind trick of pretending like, yeah, me and Gordon, we hang out all the time. I'm just going to make him some Scottish eggs.
No big deal. No big deal.
Who is yeah. more intimidating, Joe or Gordon?
Who is more intimidating? I would have to say Joe, because Gordon is actually really incredibly sweet. Like 100% of the time, incredibly sweet. And it was really shocking to me. Joe was very, you know, short with me from the word go, but I have, you know, I'm Puerto Rican, so most of my friends live in New York because that's where we go. And they're very, like, blunt people. East Coast people are just going to tell you how it is. And I really admire that in somebody. I admire someone that has the balls to be like, this is how I feel, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. So I really, more than anything else, wanted to impress Joe because he was like that with me. And because, at first he was like, your name's not really Monty. Your kid's name's not Danger. This is a joke. So it wasn't, obviously, but I'm like, oh, my God, it's on his birth certificate. This is really embarrassing. I really wanted to impress him. So I'm really glad that he ended up, you know, liking me and you know, being on my side. I really appreciated that. And he's someone that I really admire. I've read his books, and he's incredible.
Oh, he's incredible.
What else you got?
And it's incredible how looking at his picture can make me be like, oh, my gosh, am I pissing off that picture of Joe Bastianich? Because he just has that look sometimes, and he is.
He has resting bitch face, and that's not his fault.
Oh, my God, he totally does.
One of my favorite
and he
things
looks like he's
just
bored with his face.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Emily, I'm sorry.
And one of my favorite things is when he eats something, and then he just turns around and walks away without saying a word.
Isn't that the best? I love him. I wish I could be more like that. You know, I'm the kind of person that if you mess up, I apologize for you. I'm like, I'm sorry, honey. You know, that's me, you know. I'm just a mom to the bone. I'm like, it's okay that you suck. We're going to make it through this.
Well,
no.
I
he
hope
is
that's not
like that.
On Herdork World, Historic World, where you're like, it's okay that you guys aren't any good at radio.
You guys are great. What are you doing? Why would you say that about yourself?
Oh, I'm just teasing. I'm from the South. Like you said, East Coast people, they got balls. From the South, we like to be a little suave and have a little self-deprecating humor, but we winking the whole time, Monty. I'm winking the whole time. I'm actually full of myself.
I don't want to fool you for a second.
wait, I just missed everything that happened because I thought you heard, what I heard was that you're pulling yourself, and that just, I was like, what?
No,
where is
no,
this going? What is this show about?
Full of myself.
Full of myself. Okay, I'm hard of hearing, by the way, so.
Well, good, because I can't talk tonight, so we're quite prepared.
Pardon?
I said, well, good, because I can't talk tonight, so we're quite the pair.
We're the foursome now, aren't we? Isn't there four of us now?
Yeah. Well, Ray's still on the line. You got another question, bro?
I do. What is your favorite thing to and do you often cook with your son?
Danger and I cook all the time, man. You know what he said to me the other day? Danger just turned five, by the way. He turned five, and he came up to me, and he was like, Mommy, when I grow up, I want to be a chef. And I was like, oh, sweetie, that's great. And then he goes, and a ninja. I'm like, all right.
I'm pretty sure that's already
that works.
That's hilarious. We cook together all the time. The kids are just on point. I really think he is going to end up doing something in the culinary arts because he's obsessed. He really is. He's got his little play kitchen, and he makes us little wooden food all the time out of little wooden lettuce and stuff. And then he'll look at you and expect you to chew it. You know, like if you don't put the wood in your mouth, he's like, "Hello. What are you doing?" And he does cook with me in our actual kitchen because he's so little. You know, I don't do a whole lot with him.
Yeah.
But whenever I'm making pie dough, he loves to help me mix up pie dough. He's got very little fingers, so he's not going to overwork the dough. It works for me.
That's awesome.
He has mastered the Mickey Mouse pancake, which is great as well. He's just a cool kid. I mean, I don't know about his taste. Like the other day, he wanted to make me like a bubblegum and fish sandwich. And I'm like, you know, we're gonna start losing the flavor Bible. You understand what goes with what.
You should take one bite of it and just turn and walk away.
Fish and bubblegum. What is that?
You should tell him, if he doesn't know already, that there is a restaurant in New York that you get served by ninjas.
No, really?
There was as of a couple years ago. I don't know if it's still open, but I heard about this,
little
last time there was a
so
New York.
Awesome. What
so
a great.
Can't do that.
I would love that.
Well, Monty, I just want to encourage you to, I mean, obviously you will encourage his culinary pursuits, but I know that was probably some of my favorite times as a child was, you know, getting to learn how to make pie crust with my grandmother, as well as learning how to fry chicken. Because if you can't fry chicken and you call yourself a cook and you're from the South, you're going to hell. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like,
you've lost
you
all
you can,
credibility with the 5-year-old set.
What I really enjoyed about Raymond and Grandma making all those pies was eating them. That was my contribution to these great times we had. I'd be like, hey, let me just have some of that. Like, you want to help? Nah, I'll just watch some baseball. You guys take care of that.
Well, you know,
and
Ray, I'm
would...
a lot like you. You know, Ray, I have the same, like, awesome memories of growing up with my grandmother. My grandmother raised me and my twin brother, and we grew up in a dairy farm, and she would sit us in the kitchen, and she would clean out fresh fish and fry them up for us, and, you know, have us chop like little pieces of a jamoncito, which is like a special kind of ham. So those are some of my earliest memories of her, you know, showing us how to make these little corn cakes that you would make by rolling them with your hands. It was just a really great way to grow up with my grandmama, and that's really what I want Danger's first memories to be with me, is for him to understand that this is something that's really important to me and something that I love, and it's not something that I do, you know, to make money because I couldn't cut it in a professional kitchen. You know, I tried. I actually got a gig at a dessert shop. They make ice cream. I think I'm the only person in the world that could burn themselves at an ice cream shop. I don't know how I did it in the space of 2 months. I had like 15 burns. At the ice cream shop.
You're a miracle worker. So, you're a miracle worker.
I really am. So, like my friends would talk to me, and they're like, "Listen, you've got to leave this place. You're not going to be able to. You're scarring yourself. Why? because I love doing it. You know, even though I was like totally covered in bandages for 8 weeks, I love doing it. But you know, in the end, it's more important for me to be home for my kid when he gets home from school than to be working, nights at a dessert shop. So I'm really thankful that I got this hosting gig. And the new show, P.S., Make My Food Famous, it's 10 p.m. Sunday night in a couple of nights. I can't believe it's almost here. Oh, my God, I'm going to have a panic attack. I got to get cable. I don't even have cable, you guys. I've been so slammed. Like trying to push this show because they don't do any promo, you know, the network doesn't do any promo for pilots. And, you know, with my radio background, you guys know what's up. I mean, you're in radio. It's like you got to promo stuff or no one's going to watch.
Absolutely.
And so
yeah,
I was like, what are you not doing? Tell them all of them. I'm going to reach out to my friends and see if they'll help me talk about it. And I didn't realize I had so many people in my social networks that, you know, were in media until I put this little, like, tweet and this Facebook post out there. Hey, does anybody want to talk about this show I'm doing? And then I'm scheduling, like, 20 interviews a day, and I'm getting people mixed up. It's like, what am I doing? I feel like such a jerk. It was so hilarious. I mean,
well, we think you're a jerk, too, so it's all fair.
Thanks.
No, we're just
Monty,
kidding.
I have one more question for you.
Yeah, Ray, go for it, buddy.
I've cooked a lot for friends and family, and I've also had my own share of disasters in my home kitchen. Could you tell us about a time where you've had either something go awry while you were, you know, going to entertain for friends, or perhaps one of an over-the-top reaction from a friend, whether it be good or bad, to a dish that you serve?
This is my favorite disaster story in a kitchen of all time because it involves Gordon Ramsay and only me. Only I would do this. We were making everyone's favorite desserts, you know, so some people were making Joe's favorite childhood dessert, other people were making Graham's favorite childhood dessert. I got Gordon Ramsay's favorite childhood dessert, the trifle. A cold dessert, yet somehow I managed to set a rubber-bottomed bowl on fire.
Oh! <laughs> Yes, yes.
Now, what you didn't see, if you watched the season of MasterChef and you saw the episode where I set the bowl on fire, what the cameras, what the people edited out, the director edited out, was the fact that I was a hot mess that day and I had covered every bit of counter space that I had in my station and the station next to me with dirty dishes, right? So I had run out of counter space. And so I was running around like a lunatic trying to find a clean counter for me to finish putting this cold dessert together. I guess at some point I forgot to turn off the stove where I thought I had, and it just was like on super low, you know. I put rubber bottom bowl on top of the burner, thinking that it was not on at all because it was extra space. Of course, extra space, the stove, that's exactly what it's for, extra space. And I run to the pantry, which we're not even supposed to be in, P.S., with all my bowls full of Jell-O and cookies and all this stuff. Like, my shoes are greasy. At some point, I had knocked over a bottle of olive oil, and so, like, my shoes were full of grease. And I'm trying my best not to slip and slide. And I'm putting this dessert together when suddenly I hear from the MasterChef kitchen, Gordon Ramsay, at the top of his lungs, Monty! And I was like, oh, my God, what's going on? And I was talking into my microphone to the directors to see, like, what's going on. Nobody was answering me. And Gordon Ramsay starts yelling even louder, where the beep is Monty? Where the beep is Monty? And I break down. I'm like, I'm in the pantry. And I run out of the pantry. My entire station is engulfed in, like, 6-foot flames.
Oh,
I know. And I was running so fast in my oily shoes that I tried to stop in front of Gordon, but kept going about 2 more feet. So, like, I basically rammed myself into him. Yeah, classy. And then he was so furious. That was the first time I had seen him furious, and his face was red. And he was like, what the fuck is that, Monty? And he's pointing at my station, and I was so freaked out. I was like, sir, that's a bowl on fire, sir. He got so mad.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And soon enough, you'll be the person that home chefs are running into.
No.
They'll be setting your kitchen up.
My God. It's the whole thing is a catastrophe. I cannot believe I made it to the top 5 of that show. To this day, I'm like, by the grace of the sweet baby Jesus, I made it to the top 5.
Ray, I appreciate your call here tonight. Thanks so much. We're going to have to take a break now. You want to be a part of this, 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234. We'll be right back after this with Monte Carlo of MasterChef.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey everyone, it is your favorite knockout, Mickey James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast, and the business making town. I am your award-winning hostess with the mostest, Shelly Funtime Martinez, and she is my co-host, Dazzling Danielle.
Woo! Hello out there.
And together we are the Martinez Girls. You finally did it. And you can join us here Monday, new time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation as we save wrestling together, Danielle. Fighting crime.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 central, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Netcarrier has many great products and services to increase your bottom line. Be sure to ask your Netcarrier representative about our hosted PBX. Call Netcarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it pulled it down on itself and it is not...
We are live with Carmine Confidential.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Listen to Carmine Confidential. Weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. VOC Nation Radio Network.
Polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email The Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Are you getting lost in the cloud? Is technology moving too fast for you? Find your way at netcarrier.com. Ride the N-Cloud and soar above your competition.
This is Becky Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love VOCNation.com.
Hey, how's it going? This is Amy Dumas, but you may know me as Lita. You're listening to the VOC Nation.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us through the break. You're listening to Her Dork World, His Dork World, right here on the VOC Nation worldwide. We are talking here tonight with MasterChef's own Monte Carlo. Got her own show coming out Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on FYI, Make My Food Famous. I know you'll be watching it. I know my listeners. I know what they like. I bring the people what they want. Emily and I, we do what the listeners want. And one of the things that the listeners wanted to know was, how we managed to get you on the show. I got asked that like three times, and it turns out.
Are you
that
serious?
I'm serious. My friend Gregory Wright happened to know you, and I've had Gregory Wright on our sister show, Compton After Dark, Sunday nights, 11:30 p.m., right here on EDT, or right here on VOC Nation. EDT is what time it comes on, Eastern Daylight Time, folks. And on that show, we cover comic books and wrestling primarily. And Greg came on to talk about his illustrious comic book career, and it turned out he's a food guy. So we talked about MasterChef. Turned out that, you know, through our Facebooks, we all got intermingled. And now we're intermingled here tonight because Gregory Wright on the line. How you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing great. It's really great to hear these stories Monty's told that I've never heard.
Oh, Gregory. We can get drunk one night, and I will share even more crazy with you.
Oh, that's a date.
I remember the first time Gregory wrote me on Facebook. I was like, huh. And I'm like, this is Gregory Wright, like comic book guy, Gregory Wright? And then I was like, oh, my God, someone famous knows who I am. I remember being so flipped out by that. I was
well, that
so
kind of flipped
out.
Me out because I was like, oh, my God, somebody actually remembers me.
Oh, dude, you're amazing. And, what I love about Gregory Wright the most is that, you know, you get people that when the show's on the air, they're all about writing you and being like, yeah, we love you. But then they disappear, you know, and Gregory's stood by me through thick and thin, through all my Facebook rants and Twitter crazy. And I appreciate you for that, Mr. I really do.
Well, that's very nice. I like that. But, you know, it's funny because I've made so many friends through MasterChef, either, you know, actual MasterChefs, people that they know. And because of MasterChef, I've actually been part of a terrific group of people that does charity barbecue work. And we just recently cooked for 800 veterans and their families.
Oh,
and
God.
That's something I would never have gotten to do that if it weren't for meeting. This was through my friend Derek Prince that I got to join this group as well. So it's very interesting just as a viewer watching the show. I now am doing many more things just from meeting people through Facebook, meeting them in person. So it can stretch further than just, you know, a TV show.
I love Derek, man, and I'm glad that you're involved with helping veterans out because that's a really awesome, awesome cause. I always said the coolest thing that happened from MasterChef is that, you know, we get the opportunity to do good deeds for people. You know, I got to raise money for the Phoenix Children's Hospital with David Martinez and Ben Starr, and that was one of my favorite things ever. Was all of us at my house? We hadn't slept in like 2 days, making pies and making stuff for us to raffle off at this event, and we raised. It wasn't a ton of money. It was like $5,000, but that was still a really big deal to me because that's a lot of money to me. So
that's still a lot of money.
A lot of money to me.
Is,
I wish I had $5,000.
It's just wonderful that to get to meet, you know, it's so very, very sobering when you get a chance to spend time with people who are going through something so hardcore in their life, and it really makes you grateful for the opportunity to help them in some way. And so thank you for what you've done, because that's awesome.
Well, you know what? I've been inspired by a lot of the work that you and other master chefs. I mean, a lot of people don't know that, but a lot of master chefs have done a tremendous amount of charity work. Unless you continue to follow them after the show, you don't really know that. But I think that's a very big deal because it attracts a certain type of good person just to be on the show.
There's some really incredible people that have been on this show. Have you gotten in touch with anyone from this season?
As a matter of fact, Derek and I just went to a Wing Fest, and we took along Francis from this season.
Scottish Francis or Orlando Francis?
Scottish Francis with the crazy...
I love
you know
Scottish
what?
Francis. He was my favorite.
You know what? He was so amazing in person. He's very funny. He's probably the funniest next to you that I've met. And he does. He dresses he actually dresses the way you saw him on the show. That's his normal way of dress.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so that was fun. I actually posted a picture of his shoes on Facebook to see if anybody could figure out who it was.
I'm totally going to check that out now.
I'm opening
up my, 10-year-old laptop. It's going to have to warm up for a few minutes. But I'm going to check that out. That's awesome.
But, yeah, that was fun. I had Adriana Guyan and I went to have stinky tofu, and you don't want that.
Yeah,
it tastes like
the inside of a garbage can.
Gross.
It sounds
why would
like,
you do that to your mouth?
Yeah, it's no.
It sounds
have
like it was on the old cartoon dog.
Have you ever eaten anything that made you gag?
Okra.
Okra makes you gag? Are you talking? Fried okra is bomb.
No, not the fried. Just like regular plain old okra. Just it, you know, there's the fuzz, and then there's the crunch, and then there's that glop inside. So
unless it's
in gumbo, I love it in gumbo, and I can tolerate it fried. But that kind of makes me gag a little bit. And then
wow.
I had a very strange oyster pancake that you kind of swallowed it, and then it kind of snapped back up your throat, back in your mouth, and that wasn't so good either.
Ew. I remember when I had never seen fish sauce before in my life, and you have to taste your ingredients, because I had to work with Christine's mystery box, and like one of her five ingredients was fish sauce. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to taste this. And I had no idea how potent that stuff is. So I poured myself a tablespoonful and just jammed it in my mouth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was like I drank a cup of dead people. I felt like I drank a cup of dead people. It was awful. I was like, what has happened to my mouth? And then all I could smell was just fish sauce for the rest of the day. It was like burping fish sauce under my nails. This is so tragic.
So then
have you tasted anything else?
I couldn't taste anything else. That's why I was like, I was making this big old thing of soup, and by the time the challenge is over, all that was left was like a little bowl of soup, because I was trying to like taste it so much and trying to actually see what it tastes like, because all I could taste was fish sauce. I ate like a half a gallon of soup trying to create taking Gordon Ramsay to taste. It's so silly.
Oh. What else you got for us tonight, Greg?
Well, not too much. I was just enjoying listening, and I said, I got to call in and say hey to Monty.
I
don't blame
you.
Anybody out there who wants to say hey to Monty, you got to call us. 855-VOC Radio, 855-862-7234. If you're too shy to come on the air, hdwradio@gmail.com. I can get your questions that way. Greg, do you know when Joe Frankenstein's coming out? You give it a quick plug.
You know what? I'm not sure. I know they I do. I think it's going to come out in either November or December, because I just finished the first issue off, and Graham is working on issue 3. If you go on Facebook, you can find Joe Frankenstein. It's got its own Facebook page, and you should check it out. It's some fun stuff. I mean, it's named Joe Frankenstein. How bad can that be?
That's so awesome.
You got to read that. Yeah, Greg,
did
for
I
that
tell
your
local
you? Oh, go ahead.
Did
Mark.
I ever tell you that I wrote a trilogy, Gregory?
You wrote a what?
I wrote a trilogy called Rays. It was about this. It was like a female superhero, and I sold it to First Light Entertainment, which is now long gone, but they are based out of Orlando, Florida. And I was so excited that I was going to have like this trilogy published, but then someone ended up like squashing the whole thing. But
oh,
it was, like, my,
we should
what
get
the
right
yeah.
back.
What?
What was the premise?
Ray's was she was basically the daughter of a huge IRA fighter, and she was frozen in mercury for a couple of decades, and then she was taken out of her frozen cryogenic state
to help save a group of people who were rebelling against the government because the government was tracking everyone and forcing them, which is kind of creepy that now people are actually can be tracked by, you know, chips. Now people are putting, like, chips in their kids and in their dogs and stuff. Well, that was what my whole book was about, was these microchips that could be used to track people, how it became just the norm and the standard, and everything about your life was tracked. But we don't need chips anymore. We have Facebook for that, so.
Right.
That's true. And Foursquare.
Yeah, so now we just do it willingly.
You know, Foursquare is really creepy because, you know, people, I mean, I don't even have Foursquare, but people who have Foursquare would pop up on my Facebook feed, so I kind of knew where a lot of people were at all times, and I thought, that's creepy. It makes me feel like a stalker, but I'm not even doing it on purpose.
You know what's really creepy is this new Facebook Messenger app. I had to download it because I just wanted to be able to check my messages on Facebook on my phone because I'm never around my laptop, and it has, like, people's faces just all over my phone, so I'm trying to, like, get to my navigation, but instead I'm calling somebody in Denmark. I'm like, what is going on, dude? I just want to get to my navigation. And I mean, it's just ridiculous that, you know, they can, like, I know that everyone's all upset because they can record your voice and, like, do all sorts of stuff and take pictures and sell it off, and I'm not sure if I'm really as upset about that as I'm upset about the fact that I'm not making any money off of it. You know, like,
there you go.
Yeah. You know, like, if you're going to make a dime off of the fact that I can't sleep and I shop for running shoes that I'm never going to use at 3:00 in the morning, I would like to make at least a nickel off your dime. You know, it is my neurosis that's keeping you in business.
I think that's more than fair. What do you think, Greg?
Absolutely. I mean, how many pairs of glasses like Monty's got sold all over the place because of her? I'm telling you, my daughter dressed up as you that Halloween.
I still have that picture saved in my computer drive. That's the cutest thing ever.
I mean, and this had nothing to do with me. She just goes, I want to dress up like Monty. I was like, well, okay.
So I went made all myself. Of America was rooting for you.
You know what's bananas is I had no idea. I had never even watched MasterChef when I auditioned, and I had no idea, like, that it was a worldwide situation and that people from all over the world were going to see the show. Like, zero idea. So it's still, like, ridiculous to me. Like, I was working at this dessert shop, like I was telling you about, and these girls from Tokyo walked in, and they didn't speak a lick of English. But so nobody could understand what they were saying, and so the kid in the counter was like, hey, can you help them? Because obviously, you know, I'm the mom, so I'm going to be the one that's patient enough to, like, kind of figure out what it is they want. And they freaked out and started taking pictures of me. And they yelled and pointed at me, and I turned around because I thought I had set something on fire or something horrible had happened behind me. They were like freaking out about seeing me. Isn't that bananas? It's because I was in Tokyo at some point. That's just crazy.
And you tried to tell us you're not
Tokyo.
Famous. You tried to tell us you're
famous,
not famous,
dude.
Yeah, you
no,
got
but I'm
famous
not.
From Tokyo. Greg's daughter dressed up as you for Halloween. That's fame. That's what that means.
No,
like, you know,
I'm not a
Halloween costume.
I feel like someone that's famous is a household name. You know, that's someone that's famous. Like a Beatle is famous. You know. Or like Beyonce is famous. You know what I mean? Like, I can walk around and no one's going to point me out and start yelling. That's just like a very specific, you know, I was working in a very foodie center, little dessert shop in the heart of Los Feliz in Los Angeles. And, you know, it's like a place where like total foodies go to get their ice cream. So there's a small niche of people that know, you know, that I was on a reality show. And like, how can you be famous off a reality show? Like, let's keep that real. Like, what have I produced except, you know, people laughing at me over my craziness?
You produced Kid Danger.
I did. Well, yes. But if everybody that made a baby was famous, think about how Six Star Magazine would be.
Think about how kind of like, it would also be weird because it would just be like tons of baby pictures, like, all the time.
I know.
You know what I mean? you have to put up with some people who have, like, some babies that look weird, but you can't ever tell anybody their baby looks weird or awful. You're like, no, that is a very cute baby. And then you wait to get away with your friends. You're like, I can't believe that. You see that?
That's so awful. But have you ever really done that? That's horrible.
Well, I won't say that I've ever done that, but I have certainly, like, been like, I don't think that, not babies, but, like, somebody's, like, 4 or 5-year-old, you're like, oh, yeah, they're great or whatever. And I'm like, usually not their appearance, but I'll be like, yeah, that kid's annoying. You know, I mean, I'll be like, the kid is, you know, but they're kids. That's what kids do.
You don't have kids.
I
did
not have kids.
Yeah, that's why. See, I was the same way before I had Danger. I didn't care for kids. I really didn't. I thought they were nuts, and I was like, oh, I don't want any part of that. And then I had Danger and everything. They say everything changes. Everything for real deal changes. It's funny how, you know, people say, like, yeah, I gave birth to my son. But really, like, when you have a child, like, they give birth to you, you know. They bring you into this whole new phase of your life. It's really beautiful. Did I just get deep? I'm sorry, you guys.
You did.
Quiet.
It's very beautiful.
That was, but that's true. It's very true. Completely true.
I made the room all quiet.
Well, I respect that. It's always hard when, like, you talk to somebody, you know, on the opposite side of this. In fact, this happened to me today. Somebody's like, do you have kids? And I was like, no. And they're like, are you and Emily planning to have kids? They're like, no, we're not interested in progeny. And they're like, you'll change your mind one day. And I'm like, I didn't say that to you, the opposite. I was like, one day you'll get rid of your kid. You'll be tired of this. You know what I mean? Why do I have to be done not having
mind.
A kid? Yeah. I promise you, I will not. Greg, I want to thank you for the call. Everybody, I promise you I won't. Joe Frankenstein out in November and December at your local comic book store. Gregory Wright, you're always welcome here on Her Dork World, His Dork World, and Compton After Dark.
Oh, thank you very much.
Dude, I love you. Are you going to watch the show on Sunday?
Who, me?
Yeah, dude.
Of course I'm going to watch. I got to find the network somehow. If I got to find it on the internet, I'm dying to see that show. I watched the promo. The promo looks awesome.
Thank you.
And
that's
not even me being nice.
FYI Network, man. I'm excited.
Yep.
I can't believe, like, someone has put me on a TV show. I'm so excited.
Sunday
night.
What?
Greg, I'm so proud of me. I don't think I cried once. Well, like, only like a little bit, like one time, but I don't think they were filming. And it was over something completely unrelated to what was happening.
Well,
that happens. It happens. But we're just about out of time here tonight, unfortunately. It's such a pleasure to talk to you, Monty. We go all over the place, and it's just, you know, great stories, great laughs, great fun. Just what we would expect from you based on your appearance on MasterChef, on the promo for Make My Food Famous, airing at 10 p.m. Eastern Sunday night on FYI. If you want to just wrap up here with a little promo for your show, maybe you could give us a little bump we could use later.
Give you a little bump you could use later. That's what your friend says to you at the club. That's gross.
Not the bump we're talking about.
I'm a
bump.
No, I thank you so much for letting me be a part of your show. I had a ton of fun laughing with you guys. And don't miss Make My Food Famous. It's this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And it's going to be awesome on the FYI network, especially if they leave out the part where I totally curse on accident. That would be great.
Thankfully, with internet radio, we can say what we want. We're very fortunate as far as that goes, or else we would have been kicked off the air by now at least 13 times.
Good Lord, right? Thank you guys so much. Have a great night, okay?
Thank you so much. We appreciate Monte Carlo stopping by Her Dork World, His Dork World. Next week, Emily, we're going to Dragon Con, and we're going to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Lots of exciting, exciting things. I'm going to get to meet some of my favorite people from Farscape.
Yeah, you're going to get to interview Gigi Edgley and Lanny, last name I cannot remember.
Tupu.
What?
The Tupu, T-U-P-U.
That's not real.
That's his name. What do you want?
That's not real. I don't believe you. I think you're pulling one over on old Dean Compton. But you'll have to wait until next week to find out if Emily is really lying to me or not. This has been Dean Compton for Emily Scott, Her Dork World, His Dork World, right here live on the VOC Nation. Be here next week, folks.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.